There are two ways to pray. I wonder which one describes you. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different parables of Jesus. These simple stories that Jesus used to communicate deep spiritual truths about who he was, what the kingdom is like, and what it means to be his follower. In today's parable, we're going to see two very different people, two very different prayers, and two very different outcomes. And yet the simple story holds up a mirror and it exposes the content of our own hearts. As we ask ourselves, which person represents me? Which prayer am I most likely to say? And what will be my future? In chapter 18, verse 9, Luke explains who Jesus is telling this parable to. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Righteousness has to do with a right standing before God. And there are some people who thought by obeying all the laws and by trying really hard that they were able to trust in themselves to achieve their own righteousness, rather than needing to trust in God to be made righteous. But self-righteousness leads to pride, and pride leads to a lack of love for others, and ultimately also for God. This parable is part of a series of teachings, and Jesus is with his disciples, but there's also a crowd of people surrounding them, including some of the opponents of Jesus who are critical of him and of his ministry. And at times Jesus is talking to his disciples, and at other times he's talking to those religious leaders that are against him. So who is this parable directed at? Well, it's obvious to make the connection between the self-righteous people that Jesus is talking about in this parable and the self-righteous religious leaders that are against Jesus in the crowd. And he's accused them of that before. But maybe he's also speaking to the disciples to warn them not to become like that. Because the truth is, the longer that you are a Christian, the more involved you get into church life, the greater the danger it is to fall into self-righteousness. But as Jesus tells this story, he does it in such a masterful way so that those listening in on the crowd who knew very well that they weren't righteous at all, he's also encouraging them to come to God and to be justified. So this is a parable that we all need to hear. This parable is about two people, so let's meet them in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisees were a group of people that would have been at the very center of religious life. They were community leaders, well respected. They would have been widely considered to be upright, good, moral people. The tax collectors would have been at the completely other end of the religious and social spectrum. At this time, Judea was under Roman rule, and the tax collectors would have been considered as working for the enemy. They were often took advantage of the position they had for their own profit, and people would have thought that they were dishonest crooks and just shady, immoral people. These two people are poles apart. And for the original listeners, embedded in their culture, they would have unconsciously looked up to the Pharisees and looked down on the tax collectors. And these two very different people prayed two very different prayers. So let's look first at how the Pharisee prays. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get." This prayer gets off to a great start. He's thanking God, but then it takes a turn. Because instead of thanking God for who God is and what God has done, this prayer is focused on the man himself. And he says about who he is not and what he has done. He is showing off. He is boasting before God. This is a perfect example of somebody who is confident in their own righteousness and is looking down on other people. Now, of course, all those things he does is good. It's good not to cheat. It's good not to steal. It's good not to be unfaithful. It's good to fast. It's good to give. But God has always been more interested in the inside of our heart rather than just our outside actions. And see, this Pharisee, in his heart, he is a sinner just like everybody else. But he can't see it. You see, our hearts were made to worship God. And we are never more satisfied in life than when our heart is filled with love towards God. But the sin in us wants us to fill our heart with other things. Sometimes it turns towards idolatry. And we love money, power, relationships, possessions, pleasures, and there's no room for God in our life. But sometimes we turn inwards towards ourselves and we fill our hearts with pride and self-accomplishments. Self-righteousness is no righteousness at all. Religious pride just leads to spiritual blindness. When we pray, it's about giving glory to God. It's about seeking forgiveness and asking for help to love others. But the Pharisee in this story, he was giving glory to himself and using his prayer to look down on others. His heart was full of sin. But what about the tax collector? What is his prayer going to be like? Let's look at verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." As contrasting as these two men are, is as different as their prayers are, but in the complete opposite way to what you would expect. The tax collector here is a picture of humility. He knows he's a sinner, and so he asks God for the only thing he can, which is mercy. And he beats his chest as a sign of sorrow, as a sign of repentance. He knows that he needs God. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all look different on the outside, but in the inside, we have the problem of sin. Our natural tendency is to love sin and not God, to love ourselves and not others. And no matter who we are, no matter what else we have accomplished in life, we cannot get rid of that root problem of sin in our hearts by ourselves. We can ignore it, we can hide it from other people, we can try to cover it up with other things, but we can never by ourselves ever do enough to remove it from our heart by ourselves. The only thing that can take away our sin is the power of the cross. Jesus was the only one who lived a righteous life. He perfectly loved God and loved others. But he didn't come into this world to show off, but to serve. He didn't exalt himself, but he humbled himself. And through his death, we can receive the forgiveness of all of our sins and be purified from all our unrighteousness. Through his resurrection, we have hope for the future and the promise of eternal life. And through his Spirit living in us, we are enabled and empowered to love God and love others. And this is a gift. It's not something we work to earn, but we receive it through humble daily dependence. Trusting not in ourselves, but in Christ alone. Verse 14, Jesus says, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." Lent is a time of self-examination. And we want to see the sin in our heart, not so that we can live in sorrow and shame, but by seeing our need, we will turn to Christ in repentance so that we can live in joy. There are two ways to pray. Which describes you? Are you like the Pharisee, trusting in your own righteousness and looking down on others? Or are you like the tax collector, knowing that you need God? Those who come to the cross, trusting in themselves, will receive nothing. But those who come to the cross seeking mercy will find it. Their sins will be wiped away. Their unrighteousness will be forgiven. They will be given the power to serve and obey, and they will live with God in his kingdom forever. The Pharisee and the tax collector went to the temple to pray. But that temple was destroyed because it was no longer needed. Because now the meeting place between God and man is through Jesus. So we can pray today wherever we are, right in our own homes, right now, through Christ. And if you want to be like the tax collector, if you want to come before God knowing that you need him, seeking for his mercy, then you can echo the simple prayer that I'm going to say in your own heart, or even say it out loud with me. But let us come to God through Christ in prayer. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my self-righteous attitudes and my unrighteous actions. Lord Jesus, you had no sin, but you became sin for us, so that in you we might become the righteousness of God. Send your purifying spirit into my heart. Lead me in repentance and help me to live for you in humble daily dependence until I am lifted up in your eternal kingdom. Amen.